Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to a rather somber episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and today, more than most days, everything sucks. Wasn't supposed to. SmackDown chose a Christmas night episode, taped episode of SmackDown to deliver one of their best overall episodes in months. Really high on in-ring stuff, and all the in-ring stuff was good, or at least important. There was a universal title cage match to kick off the show that had a totally different ending than one I'd ever seen before. They managed to keep the challenger still a badass and make you hate the heel even more. But he didn't do anything but be smart. And yeah, gotta hate a heel for doing the smart thing. So it built to possibly a future match between them that I wouldn't even mind, because normally at this point I'd say, okay, that's done. I don't need to see that ever again, because they have several matches now. But after they built that, go ahead and do it again. Do it at the Rumble for all I care. Sure. There's business that remains unfinished between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. There was a weird, out-of-the-blue triple threat elimination tag match for the women's tag belts. The only thing I didn't like about that was the fact that I had to watch Asuka and Charlotte team some more, and you know my feelings on that if you watched the episode that I recorded on Tuesday. But the in-ring work was stellar, and they forwarded some storylines, managed to keep Bianca Belair looking pretty great, even though she did take the pin, which is hard to do. That was a great match between Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan coming back from nothing to beat it. Like, you're looking like he was definitely going to lose. And I don't love that Jey Uso now has lost every match he's had, through the feud with Roman, and then, with matches around there. I thought he I think he won a couple matches back then, but since he fully committed to being part of Team Roman, he hasn't beaten anybody, and that's hard to still sell him as a main event guy. But the match itself was, Bryan was so good, and you knew Bryan needed to win to stake a claim to wanting to, as he said later in the night, win the Royal Rumble, which, you know, something he's always wanted to do, and then go on to face Roman at Mania. And I got to say, I don't know if there are a lot of other options right now for Roman Reigns at Mania. Besides Goldberg. So would I like to see Daniel Bryan have his last Mania match to fully cement Roman Reigns' legacy as Bryan transitions to being a full-time dad, as he says, and a part-time wrestler? Sure. Yeah. That might be good. Also, there was an Intercontinental Tag Match. It's an Intercontinental Tag Match. Sorry, I'm out of sorts, as I think you can tell. Intercontinental Championship match, where Big E is now Intercontinental Champion. And when they said, we're gonna keep you on SmackDown, and we're going to give you a singles push, did I think that they were going to have him hit that little mid-card glass ceiling known as the Intercontinental Championship? No, I did not. I hoped, I really thought that they were going to have him move on and go into a legitimate Universal title picture. But it does feel like they're saying, here he is. He's Intercontinental Champion now. You can't be pissy now. We made him a champion. So just leave us alone and let us book our Bill Goldberg match. And to which I say, no, I will not do that. But nevertheless, I'm very happy for Big E. It was a fun lumberjack match. Sami Zayn did everything he needed to do to make that title passing mean something. And now we get to see what they're going to do to book Big E. And that's good for Big E. He deserves a singles push in some way. I still don't think he needed to. I don't think you needed to separate him from Xavier and Kofi to make him the IC champ. I don't think that was necessary. I just don't. For example, Bobby Lashley is the U.S. champ on Raw, and Cedric and Shelton are the tag champs. You didn't need to break them up as a faction to put the tag belts on two of the guys and the mid-card title on the other guy. That wasn't necessary there, so it wasn't necessary on SmackDown either. But when is consistency a thing with them? A quick note. And the only part of an actual real Sour Graps episode that you'll get from me on this one is they announced that Seth Rollins is coming back for the New Year's Night episode, whenever it is. Come back already. Feels like he just left, Seth. I mean, take all the time you need. No, don't rush back. Not on our account. Come on, Seth. I mean, you got that new baby at home. I'm sure Bex. I'm sure she'd love to have you around the house, you know, helping out. You know, helping out with whatever you need, whatever she needs. I mean, I speak from experience. It's hell having a newborn kid, especially your first kid in the house. You know, you're always second guessing yourself. You always feel like you might be forgetting something or whatever. It's always important to be able to have somebody else around the home that you can send, because, oh my God, we forgot to buy milk or whatever it is. And you can run down to the corner store and pick some up or whatever. It's better that you're at home, so you help to be supportive of Becky. There's no reason for you to come back this early. I mean, yeah, stay at home for a few more weeks. Come back during the Rumble. Hell, come back at Mania.
Think of the pop you'd get coming back at Mania. Take all the time you need. Take all the time you need, Seth. Don't rush back on our account, okay? Thanks. Just letting you know, you don't have to come back so fast if you don't absolutely want to. Okay, good, good. Okay, stay the hell off of SmackDown, Seth. You're going to drag it into the fucking mire. It's going to, oh, it's not going to be good because Buddy Murphy's there and the Mysterios are there and I don't have confidence in the people to be able to resist putting you back into a storyline with them. So you could stay off of TV for all I care. Cool? Great. Come back at Mania. It'll be great. Huge pop. So there's that. Stuff happened for SmackDown at TLC. I guess I'll mention real quick before we get into with the heart of this thing. I'm sure you all know. The Roman and KO storyline continues to be amazing. Their match at TLC was a classic. So good. Jey Uso continuing to have his cousins back when his cousin is so horrible to him. It's a really cool storyline that they can always flip whenever they need to. You can have Jey turn on Roman in an amazing babyface move to go back to fighting against Roman. The possibility still exists there for the guy who takes the belt off of Roman to not necessarily be Jey Uso, because I don't think they think that highly of him at this point. But for Jey to be the reason that the new champ takes the belt off of Roman, because Jey got pushed too far and turned on him at the exact right moment. So all that is there. I love, don't love necessarily that Roman still has to win via shenanigans all the time. I think he's the strongest he's ever been, which is pretty fucking strong. And he should be booked as such, so that sometimes the heel is just the better wrestler on any given night and doesn't need to cheat in order to win. I still firmly believe that. The cage match on last night was just so good. The ending where Uso shows up and handcuffs Kevin to the cage so he can't get out the open door. And while Roman is unconscious and he wakes up, sees what has happened, and just gets this smirk on his face and takes all the time in the world just moseying over to the open door, goes down the steps one at a time while looking KO in his face, and KO gets to call him a little bitch over and over again. Great. And he just steps gingerly off the bottom step in order to win the match. KO is just screaming at him, bashing his own forehead into the chain link, getting a big old cut. That was some good stuff. That was some really good stuff. As I said, would not be mad if we decided we got to see this more during Roman's reign. They've built up KO as an absolute foil for Kevin, for Roman, and I think that there's something there they can continue should they so choose. Also, I believe the only other thing from SmackDown that was on the show on TLC, unless I'm not remembering correctly, was Carmella and Sasha. Sasha won, as well she should have. Carmella turned in a great performance, but it was never really in doubt. But it was a very good match. Very, very good match. And Sasha's just at the top of her game right now. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with that. Only part of that six-woman tag, six-woman triple threat elimination tag match. They seem to be still riding that whole Bayley thing a bit too much for Sasha. So, but anyway, all in all, last night's episode of SmackDown was the best that they've had in months. The highest rating they've had since October of 2019. I mean, it had that football game lead in, but it was a huge blowout, I think. So it wasn't like it was, people watching in overtime and all of a sudden it switches over to Roman Reigns. But I think that certainly helped them. But yeah, it was a high quality program, and we have to hope that they continue that going forward. I think there's reason to hope the SmackDown stays good, but Raw remains dookie. So I was all set. I actually had a title picked out for this episode. It's a Christmas miracle, because the show was so good that I thought it was a Christmas miracle how good it was. I was watching the show. I was like, I think I was midway through the Uso and Daniel Bryan match this evening watching it when I saw came across Twitter. The John Huber died. John Huber, of course, is the real name of Luke Harper and Brody Lee. Brody Lee now, of course, in AEW, playing this Mr. Brody Lee, the according to some, the thinly veiled Mr. McMahon spoof. I think it's safe to say, one of the most just purely talented big men that we've seen in recent memory, at least in my opinion. And it just came out of the blue that he died. And I always knew that he was a really well-liked guy by among his peers. And that counts for a lot in this business, because it's very rare that you find a guy about whom nobody will say a bad word. That's rare, because somebody will always feel like somebody was politicking, even if they weren't. Somebody will feel like they were, or somebody gave somebody a potato in the ring, and all of a sudden, like, I don't like that guy. It doesn't seem like there's anybody who says one bad thing about this dude. And the big thing of it is that he was just about the best dad that you could be. With his older boy, Brody, taking him to backstage and hanging out and taking him to like, autograph signings and stuff, and like really putting over the kid, like in front of everybody, like hoisting him up on his shoulders, letting everybody see, this is my boy and look how proud I am of him. And, what that does to a kid, is just immense. To see that the world sees that your father or mother is just so proud of you and believes that anything is possible with you. Like, what that does to a kid is just, it's impossible to put into words, I think. And there was an interview. There was all these pictures of him with his kids. He's got two. A younger boy named Nolan, who I guess is like about three. I'm not sure how old Brody is, but he's got to be, I don't know, eight now or something, which is just so hard, because like at that age, you have all these memories of your dad just being the greatest dad ever, and now he's gone, and it's going to be just hell for that kid to process. His dad, the world's greatest dad, the invincible.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Giant being gone. But his wife posted on her Instagram that he had some kind of lung issue, non-COVID related, she said. And he died at the Mayo Clinic. So he was sick, like sick. This is not one of those brain aneurysm or car wreck or something like out of the blue, but it was for a lot of us. I think that his wife, his family certainly got a chance to process, at least for a little while, that this was a possibility. But for a lot of us, we just knew he wasn't on AEW and hadn't been for a while, I think October. But, you know, guys go out for little things and get elbow surgery or whatever, and they don't talk about it on the broadcast because, you know, at least I wasn't aware that he was in this kind of shape. I thought it was a health issue, but whatever. So it really, so many people seem to be shocked by this. But again, you can just go into Twitter and go to your favorite wrestler's Twitter, and I'm sure they'll have something talking about how they loved this guy and he was just the kindest dude to work with. I mean, not that any of it matters, but I was a huge fan of his. He's one of the wrestling figures I have. And I always thought that like this guy could have done so much more in WWE. There was of course that feud that he had with Bray and Randy leading up to Mania 17, where a lot of us, myself included, thought he should have been added to the match for Mania, because it was, you know, the guy, the snake who turned on Bray, and the former brother of Bray that Bray turned on because he chose Randy over him, and the possibilities for alliances to be formed and broken within that match was just great. And I thought it would have been an interesting way of telling that story. And we never got to see it because they didn't have that. They didn't picture him in the way that a lot of his fans did. I don't know why, because he was fucking amazing. Like some of his stuff, just go back and watch some of his best matches. There was a classic ladder match for the IC title with Dolph Ziggler. And one of his last things he did in WWE, a singles match. He had this one of this, the Worlds Collide event. I want to say it was early 2019. Maybe it was even to 2018. But it was him versus Dijak. Donovan Dijakovic or whatever they called him. Dominic Dijakovic. And a singles match. It was a great match that Harper won. Luke Harper won. But geez, those two guys were so athletic and so big and just did such great things. It's on the network somewhere. I mean, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you go if you like his work. He also had just one of the most unique big boots as a thing that all big men do big boots. Not like Harper, though. Like he put his foot out there and then like strode through your face. Like he would just put the flat of his foot right in your mush and then just force your whole body down to the ground with it. It was just, it was so vicious. He was just such a special talent and even a more special man. Everybody talks about what an amazing friend he was to them. And, former writer with WWE tweeted out that that he himself lost a daughter, and Brody Lee called him out of the blue and talked to him for hours to help him get through it. Like that's the kind of guy that he was. And this is 1,000,000% not about me, but it is a weird thing to me. He just turned 41 like 10 days ago, 12 days ago, something like that. 10 days ago, 41. That's young. Although I myself am 41 and there are days that I feel old as hell. And he had two small boys and I have, a little girl that I mentioned on the podcast. And she is going to be 4. And I am scared to death that something will happen where I won't be able to be around to see her grow up. So this really has hit me very close to home. Same age as me, the same. He's got young kids. He did this video. I don't know what the clip is from. I tweeted it out. It's floating all over the internet. You'll find it, where he talks about his son Brody and how he just wants him to be able to be there for through everything and see me in the ring, he says, and see the kind of person that I am and all this kind of stuff. And he says that he just wants to be the kind of father to Brody that his dad was to him. I saw that video and that thing fucking broke me, man. And it is one of those things that Tony Nese tweeted this out, and you know, God bless Tony Nese for this is a great idea. I don't know who's doing it, but somebody's got to. I hope somebody out there is collecting all of these posts on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere for all the people who knew Brody even for a day, who knew immediately this guy was one of the best people who'd ever lived. And you, somebody needs to curate all these things that his friends are saying about him, so their kids can read it when they grow up and know that their dad was a hell of a guy, to put it lightly. So Obviously, thoughts go out to his family, his wife Amanda, and his two sons, one of whom is so young, probably won't remember his dad at all, which is just devastating. But I don't know if it's more devastating than having all the memories of your dad being like a Superman, and then he gets sick, and then 3 months later he's gone. I don't know what's worse. To grow up having no memory of your father, or to grow up having some fleeting memories of your father, of him being basically invincible until one day he was dead. I don't know. And it's a weird thing to like, it's morbid, but it's a place my head is at right now. And I don't have a therapist. So I talk to my laptop camera. Mostly I yell about wrestling, but apparently on days when men who are my own age, who have kids around the age that my kids are, die of lung ailments that they didn't even know they had until a few months ago, well, my brain goes into weird places. Anyway, I debated whether or not I was going to even do an episode tonight, because I didn't know I was in the right headspace. You know how these things go. It's usually just me ranting about terrible WWE booking for an hour and a half. But the fact that SmackDown was a really pretty good episode by all accounts, and by certainly by WWE standards, and the fact that this happened and really, really fucked with my head. It's a short one tonight. I don't know what else to do. I will say this, just as a thing too, because I know there are a lot of fathers, parents who listen to my show, and to all of you out there, I know you're probably having the same feelings that I am right now. And it's one of those deals that, I don't know if this is the thing that makes me, I feel like I'm a good dad. I know I could be better. Is this the thing that makes me, you know, be that better thing, the catalyst, seeing this guy who I didn't know. I never met John Huber. I don't know him at all, but I know that he was a great dad, same age as me, as I said, and had these kids that he loved and adored. And I know he would want to be there to see them grow up. So what does it do, this thing that happens to this guy, to make me want to do that? So there's one last thing that I'm going to say, is that you have to cherish every moment and every memory, because you just don't know. You just don't know. They say that you'll never know it's the last time that you do whatever with your kid. Not necessarily that death is a factor, but they grow up so fast. I have been blessed by my wife's work situation, that I've been able to basically stay home and be a stay at home dad the entirety of my daughter's life. It's weird to say this, the best part of my day, every day, is nap time. Because for whatever reason, she is fiercely independent. She will run all over the place, go for a walk, and she'll run far, far ahead. And I gotta try and catch up to her to stop her, or she'll go around the block without me. But the one time that she needs myself or my wife is to sleep. She cannot sleep by herself. That's a thing we're going to have to deal with as she gets older. But Nap time has always been, when she was a baby, she'd have to sleep on me. I couldn't put her down. She'd wake up and start crying. And then as she got older, became a toddler, she'd sleep next to me on the couch. And then one day, early this fall, she stopped taking naps. It was the one time, because nighttime she wants to cuddle with mom, and I respect that. So nap time is when she gets to cuddle with daddy, and you know, I'm a softy, so I like those. I like that time. But one time, I don't remember the date, and I wish I did, but I don't remember the date. She said, "No more naps." So there's no more cuddle, no more cuddle time. And I mentioned this to my wife, and she had a picture put on a can koozie for me of my daughter and I during nap time. Because sometimes nap time isn't just for my daughter. Nap time is for daddy, too. That is a picture I did not know had been snapped. And now it is on a can koozie, and I will always have a memory of that. Those wonderful 3.5 years of my life where every afternoon I got a chance to snuggle with my favorite girl. Every day is fleeting. And I don't know when John Huber realized that about his own situation. But I feel like his situation has kind of helped me realize my situation. And I don't know the steps that I need to go through to make sure that I'm here for the duration. So that's what I'm going to have to say. As I know I got philosophical and sappy and whatever. But hell, it's my show, and I talked about some wrestling, I guess. I'm sure Raw will be terrible on Monday, and I'll have had several days to process this weird kind of like, I don't know, like second degree, third degree grief that I'm feeling for this person I don't even know. So I'm sure that the Tuesday episode of Sour Graps will be a regular Sour Graps. We're all yell about terrible booking and bad promos and things like that. It'll be fine. I hope you guys enjoyed the Christmas specials, plural, that I did this past week. If you guys like those and want me to do more stuff about non-wrestling topics, I think we might be able to work something like that out. Once again, love the Fightful Faithful. You guys rock. And make me never want to stop doing this. So thankful for you guys, and grateful that I can be somebody to give you a laugh through a long shift at work or after a long shift at work. I've had a couple messages in the past couple of weeks about people who use this show to get them through tough times, and that's just a trip, man. It's a trip. I'm happy I can be there for you in all seriousness. Anyway, that was SmackDown, kind of, and TLC, sort of. And that was a weird eulogy for John Huber, for Brody Lee, for Luke Harper, a guy I never met. And that was a weird philosophical tangent down a weird avenue talking about my own mortality that I did not think I was going to do this episode. That was Sour Graps. I have been Alex Pawlowski. Hug your kids. Tell them you love them. Because, as we said, everything sucks.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.